In the month that Vice President Harris has led the Democratic ticket, she has seen a surge in support with Latino voters, up from where President Biden had been polling.
But Harris and the Democratic Party still have work to do to motivate these voters who are critical to a winning coalition. To discuss that work, we are joined by Maria Teresa Kumar, CEO of Voto Latino. Welcome back to the NewsHour. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So there's been a little bit of a reset with Latino voters in just the last month. Your own polling from Voto Latino shows that Kamala Harris has 60% support in polls. That's up from Biden's 47% in April. There's another Equus poll that shows that Harris is up 19 points in battleground states when Biden led by just 5. What are you attributing that shift to?
One is that she has been cultivating a lot of young Latinos since her she ascended into her vice presidency. So people are very familiar with who she is. The biggest challenge, though, is that they like her, but they want to get to know her better. But the poll, what was really fascinating to us, the poll was with GQR. It was 2,000 Latino voters in key battleground states. And the biggest takeaway was not only was Kamala leading among the Democrats, but she was taking away roughly 17 points away from Kennedy. And believe it or not, she was also taking away from Trump. And he is now, so if you head-to-head today, Trump right now is at 29% versus with Biden, he was at 38%.
And it's the younger voters, the younger Latino voters that account for that?
Disproportionately, yes. And Latino women. Oh. So to give you an idea, since there was a changing of the guard at Voto Latino, we had registered 36,000 individual voters. As of today, we've registered over 100,000, where 65% of them are under the age of 25. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, we should also note she's at 60% in your latest poll, right? But Biden in the last election was at 65%, so she's still pulling behind where he was. Where is the gap? Why are Dems having trouble shoring that up?
Because we haven't had the convention. I will tell you.
This is going to be the difference maker?
Because in August of 2020, Biden was at 50. So we don't see the surge of enthusiasm until post-convention after Labor Day, when all of a sudden Americans are going back to school, going really back to work, paying attention. And for whatever reason, she has captured our imagination. There is an opportunity for the Democrats to cement states, even like Arizona, where Biden won by 10,000 registered voters. Kamala Harris has the opportunity to capture the 163,000 Latino youth that have turned 18 since Biden was elected.
There was a pretty significant ad buy we saw from the Harris campaign a couple of weeks ago that was focused on Latino voters. And she really leaned into her personal story, mm-hmm. talking about the fact that she is the daughter of immigrants and really, you know, trying to make an inroads with that community based on her identity and personal story. How resonant is that?
When Biden joined the Biden campaign last time, she gave him a 15-point lift just on that story alone. And because she was the daughter of an immigrant single mother, it really resonates. What they're going to ask her next, though, is what are you going to do differently than Biden did for us? The biggest challenge Biden has had with the Latino community is communicating how he has changed their everyday. They were skeptical. With her on top of the ticket now, they're very open to what is the possibility for an extended possibility with an extended 4-year term.
There has been this sort of long-term trend, though, a weakening of enthusiasm among Latino voters, who we should underscore here are not a monolith, right?
Right.
Yeah, but there has been, really since Obama, a weakening, presidential election by election. What do you attribute that to, and what do you want to see from Harris and Walz that could possibly reverse that trend?
So what we have found is that the way Latinos vote isn't that they're trending to the Republicans, is that they're not enthusiastic necessarily, so they stay home. So what they want to be able to demonstrate is that not only is there a vision for the present, but also for the future. The more that the Harris-Walz campaign can talk about economy, small business, that she, yes, is for small business capitalism, because there's so many young Latinos and Latinos in general that are entrepreneurs, that will penetrate an actually sound letter. Because the Republicans have been trying to pick people off and saying, well, the Democrats are anti-business. If she says, no, I'm small business capitalist, that will all of a sudden open up a whole different conversation.
We should say the convention has gaveled into session, and we should apologize for talking through the national anthem, that this timing is sort of out of our control. The Harris-Walz Wall's campaign has said that they see multiple paths to election through the Blue Wall, but also through the Sunbelt states, Arizona, Nevada, in large part because of the large number of Latino voters. Are there other states where, other states that might now be in play because of a similar population?
I would say that there is an opportunity even in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, but perhaps not for the top of the ticket, but in growing the electoral base, you have a potential Senate pickup in a place like Texas because of the volume of young people. They're anxious now to jump in the game, but there has to be a real strategic investment there.
There is, of course, the key issue of immigration that we know is really resonant, particularly with some majority Latino populations and border communities, where we saw many of them actually go for Trump in the last election. Mm-hmm. How should this ticket message on this issue that has bedeviled the Biden-Harris administration?
Well, I think we saw it when the vice president went down to Central America and convinced business to go to the root of the problem and start creating investments. The more that she couches what is happening at the border as a Western hemispheric issue and that we need more people involved, not just government, but our Canadian friends, our Mexican friends, our Colombian friends, for example, and break the business, then we could have a conversation with American people of how do you actually talk about the undocumented people that have been here for 20, 30 years. What the president did in June, where he provided and granted authority to stay for spouses of undocumented immigrants, goes a long way. That was roughly 2 million family households that were impacted. There is now a narrative of we have to fix the border, we have to be tough on it, but we do have pathways to safeguard the folks that are already here.
Maria Tisa Kumar.
We'd love to both. Thank you.
Thank you.
Always good to see you here. Thanks for being here.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.